You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, clones, I love new companies with new ideas. As an example, Root Insurance. Now, what if good drivers did not have to pay for bad drivers? Root Insurance thinks that the old way of pricing car insurance is not right. It's not fair. So they developed a mobile app which measures driving behavior by removing bad drivers from the equation. That makes sense, right? That way they save good drivers up to 52% in 2019 alone. So gone are the days where your car insurance rate is based on your credit score, your age, your gender, or your zip code. With Root, it's car insurance made easy using an app to base rates primarily on how you actually drive. Better drivers do deserve better rates. That's why the Root app uses driving behavior as the primary factor to determine car insurance rates. And in 2019, Root was the fastest growing direct insurance company in the United States. Clones, all you have to do is download the Root Insurance app, drive normally for a few weeks during the Root test drive, and then see how much money you can save. Do not wait. Give Root a try. Head to your app store, download the Root Insurance app, sign up in less than 1 minute, and start your test drive today. That's R-O-O-T, Root, R-O-O-T. Again, download the Root app or visit joinroot.com and learn more and see how much money you can save. It's not available in all states. Disclaimers may apply. Visit joinroot.com for details.
You're killing us. And my wife was working and listening to the show. Well, she got so fired up, she called into the show under an assumed name. You proceeded to kill Long Beach State and hang up on her. Jim Rome, he hung up on me. I can't believe Jim Rome hung up on me.
What's cracking? Welcome to another episode of the Jim Rome Podcast. This side hustle keeps firing away and the episodes just keep stacking right up. We are now well into our 100s and we continue to pump out the goods. This week is no different. For the first time since March Madness, we are going to get some college basketball in with one of my all-time favorite people. Our relationship goes back to the early 90s when he was coaching at Long Beach State and beating number one Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse between stops at the Thunderdome every year in Santa Barbara. He then moved on to South Florida for 7 years before getting the head gig at Virginia Tech, where he made it a habit of beating more number one teams and being named the ACC Coach of the Year. He's now in his 8th year as a college hoops analyst with ESPN. He is also the co-host of Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage podcast. I'm proud to call him a good friend. He is Seth Greenberg. He is my guest for Ep 111 of the Jim Rome Podcast, which gets started right now. Seth Greenberg. Seth, my man, you have been killing it on ESPN for several years. Let me start right there. That makes me proud. Now, don't get me wrong, Seth. You were a hell of a coach, but you were destined for this sort of thing at some point when you were done coaching. I just feel like I saw it early on when I was trying to get you into the jungle as often as I could back to our days in the Big West. So I'm not surprised. I am proud. Bring me up to date, Seth. How you living? How's your Connecticut lifestyle treating you?
Well, it's a little different. It's, you know, it's so different, Romy, when you're not coaching. Because, you know, when you're coaching, especially if you were in a college town like we were in Virginia Tech, the last place, you know, you go to the supermarket, you know everyone. Your wife knows everyone. You're involved in different type of philanthropic things. You're involved in, you know, the campus community. You know, you're having an impact on people's lives. Now, basically, I think the only person I impact is a gambler, maybe. I don't know. But it's great. I mean, they've been very, very kind to me and give me a great platform and an opportunity. But you gave me my first platform. We always joke about it, but the time you were actually killing the beach in the Roach Motel, and there was a fight that broke out between Santa Barbara and Long Beach State, and Karen Greenberg, my wife, member of the Bombay Club, which is no longer, I guess, existing, called up. You hung up on her, and then about a week later, I was in a tour stop. And from that point on, a great friendship developed, and you know, the opportunity you gave me to kind of just talk ball kind of laid a platform in a lot of ways for what I'm doing now. So I really do appreciate that. And life is good. You know, I'm undefeated for 7 years, and I get the best seat in the house for the best games, and it's pretty good. Not as much stress, for sure.
Seth, there is so much good shit in what you just said. There's so much to unpack there. So let me just go back. For those who don't know, And I do want to talk about some of these things. But back in the day, like, we have our Big West roots, right? And I want to get to that later on. But since we're into it, I went to UC Santa Barbara. You were a coach at Long Beach State. Remind everybody how we came together, because there was a pretty fierce rivalry between Santa Barbara and Long Beach. I mean, the fact that you and I are such good friends is so unlikely given where we started. Exactly what happened? Do you remember how we came together?
Yeah, sure. Exactly how we came together. We were playing Santa Barbara in the gold mine, two very evenly matched teams, Lucius Davis, Dries Jones. Santa Barbara was a very good team, coached by Jerry Pym. He was kind of the elder statesman. I was a young whippersnapper. We played in his, what you would call the Roach Motel, which is the old gold mine before the pyramid was built, and it was an absolutely brutal game. I'm talking about it was a rock fight. We were good defensively. They were good defensively. Baskets were hard to come by. And during one point of the game, it got to be a little bit of ruckus. I think, quite honestly, a Santa Barbara guy hit one of my guys behind the head. One of the guys from my team came off the bench, Sonny Alvarado. Both benches cleared. It went up into the stands. Jerry Pym standing there at half court with a towel. Of course, me, like being an idiot that I was at that age, I'm like right in the middle of it. I almost got my head taken off by Lucius Davis. So the game ends. We win on a big-time Chris Tower three-point shot on a little roller place. And the next day, you are killing us on radio. I think it was 690. And you're killing us. And Karen was working. My wife was working in Orange and was a huge fan of yours and was listening to the show. Well, she got so fired up, she called into the show under an assumed name. You proceeded to kill Long Beach State and hang up on her. Then she calls me, losing her mind. Jim Rome, he hung up on me. I can't believe Jim Rome hung up on me. And I called my SID and said, like, my man Rome, why is he killing us? I know he's a Santa Barbara guy. I need to get a chance to protect my team. And you invited me to a tour stop in Anaheim. And from that point on, I was supposed to come in for one segment. I think I came in for an hour. And from that point on, I really appreciate your friendship. And at that time, I became kind of a regular. I became your college basketball guru for a while there.
God, that was so great. What a great reset, Seth. What a great reset by you. And just for the record, in terms of the queen, Karen, if I had known that it was the queen, there was no way that I would have ever hung up on her. But she did call it an assumed name, right? Much less
exactly.
The queen and your wife, who was, in fact, became a member of the Bombay Sapphire Club. You mentioned that the club may or may not be any longer. Is Karen still a member of the club?
Oh, she's for sure a member of the club. But you've probably moved on to bourbon and the horses and all that stuff.
Yeah, I've kind of moved either on or sideways. I don't know, man. That's a tough drink, Seth. I don't know if you ever got to the club. I know Karen was a member of the club. Sapphire, over time, will take its toll. So I didn't really move on. I kind of moved sideways. I kind of moved laterally, but I get it. All right, so you and I, you mentioned that you don't know if you're impacting anybody except for the gambler. You know, it used to be like, man, you're killing our team. Are you hearing from gamblers now because of the way that things are going with gambling and gaming?
Well, you know, gaming's a bigger part of what we're doing here at ESPN. Like, today I'm going on our Daily Wager to talk about the Kentucky-Georgia game and Ohio State-Maryland game prior to that tip-off, before I do SportsCenter, before we do our wraps. So, you know, I don't hear from you. You know, you'll get, you know, the Twitter trolls that, you know, kill you whether you're right or you're wrong, or, you know, you hate Duke or you hate North Carolina. You know, Coach K beat you a zillion times. Okay, I beat him a couple times, too. Have a good life. you hear from people. I mean, but It's interesting. You know, when you coach, you really do have an impact on people's lives, positive and negatively. Because, you know, when you coach, let's face it, you got to tell people no. I mean, you know, you're recruiting all these kids with the expectation that they're going to come in and play and have great careers, and some of them don't. And they're disappointed. On the other hand, you recruit some guys, and they work their tails off. They're successful on the court, off the court. They're playing in the NBA. They're successful parents and husbands. And, you know, that's really rewarding. You don't get that doing what I do. But I'll tell you what I do get. And, you know, the one thing about ESPN, yeah, they're going to work you, which I like the work, so that's good for me. But everyone just wants you to have a good show. Like, you're not dealing with the AD. You're not dealing with, you know, a booster trying to, you know, to pull the rug from underneath you. Everyone there, producer, director, researcher, people, you know, behind the scenes, they just want you to have a good segment. And, you know, it's really good to be in an environment where, you know, people are pulling in the same direction. And they've been so good to me. Hopefully I've been as good to them. And it's been a good marriage.
So what I'm hearing from you, Seth, is you can trust people around you. Is that what you're saying?
No doubt about it. Yeah, where like in coaching, you know, you're as good as your last game, as good as your last season. Like, I won 25 games the year before I got fired. I mean, I the year before I got fired, I'd be doing Carolina. You know, I started 4 freshmen my last year, and all of a sudden we won 16 or 17 games that last year starting 4 freshmen, and I was too fiery. Well, I wasn't too fiery when we won 24 or 25. I was too fiery when, you know, we won 16 or 17. And by the way, the guy that's playing for the Clippers, Montrezl Harrell, he was already committed to us. Dorian Finney-Smith was playing for us. I mean, that next year I would have had 4 pros. So, but, look, I landed on my feet, and our life is good. Our girls are great. They're all grown, getting grown up, and life goes on. And, life is not what happens to you. It's how you deal with what happens to you. And I was fortunate that I could land on my feet, and my quality of life is good. My health is good. And, if the very right situation showed up, I might do it. By the way, this year, the 25th, this will make us both feel old, the 25th anniversary of the opening of the pyramid is January.
Wow. Wow, that is insane. That is insane. Hey, listen, I mean, hell yes, you landed on your feet. You're doing great. You got a great quality of life. You got a great family. But you just touched on this, Seth. You just said, if the right opportunity, is it still in the back of your mind, and what would you consider the right opportunity?
You know, it's always, Jim, it would be a huge change because I do have such a good life. If, like opportunity, first of all, if ESPN came to me and said, you know what, your time has come, or, we don't see you in a long-term future because, I'm 64 years old. I feel great. I mean, I'm 63 years old, I should say, but I feel great. I mean, I'm in great shape. But, you always wonder. I'm in so many practices. I spend a lot of time. Dan Dockage calls me the coach whisperer. I spend a lot of time talking to coaches about their teams, about dealing with adversity, about dealing with issues. I go around in the preseason, and I visited actually your guy Chris Beard. Spent 2 days with Texas Tech and Coach Beard, and kind of did a little evaluation on their staff and their team, and gave a presentation to their team. So I get a little bit of a fix, but you miss competing. Like you miss winning, losing, putting together a plan. Like the plans I react to are plans that our producers put together. You, on the other hand, what you do each and every day, you put together a plan, and then you try to see if that plan can touch people and get people to respond and react. Now, I'll do that in, say, a get up segment where, something will come up, and I'm not afraid to say what I feel. I mean, and I'm passionate about my opinions, but the opportunity to see if I can put together a plan and win again at the highest level, it's always in the back of your mind. It's not something that I'm running to do because I do have a great group of people I'm working with, and I've got a great place here and in terms of at ESPN, and I've got a great platform to talk about the sport that I'm passionate about. So it would have to be something really special. And, it's like anything else, synergy. You got to have the president, the athletic director, and yourself with the same vision. If you don't have those three things aligned, eventually it's going to fall apart. So, I mean, that would be the only way I would even consider it, because if you don't have those three people working in the same direction, and the schools, like anything else, investment equals expectation. Like, if people want to win, there's an investment that it takes to win, and all the resources around it in any business, in business, in life, in a relationship, in doing your show every day. I mean, if you don't invest in the time, I've seen you work and prepare. I mean, people have no understanding of how much time you put into what you do to get the product you get. So there's a lot to it. Let's put it that way.
Now, I appreciate you saying that, Seth. You're right. And I think what you need, among many other things, is an AD who does not say, you know what, you're too fiery. We're going to go in a different direction. Anyway, that was then, this is now, but that's still unbelievable to me. I agree with Dakich. Seth, you are the coach whisperer. I've always been fascinated going way back to when we first started talk about the way you can break down coaches and the way they see things, and the way they do things, the way they relate to things. Like Chris Beard, who you mentioned, you were in Lubbock right after I was there this past summer. I'm curious, what was your time like with Chris Beard, and what do you make of the miraculous job that he's doing at Tech?
He's one of the unique guys in coaching right now. He is so passionate about what he does and the people he does it with. What Chris is, he's Saban-esque in that he's consumed by the process, for sure. There's no doubt about that. But his messaging to his team, his ability to touch his players, his ability to reach out to different guys in different ways to make sure that guys understand what's expected of them, because what he's expecting of them is no different than what he's expecting of himself. His capacity to work is insane. Now, he's driven to win, but he's driven to impact lives. Like, here's a perfect example. I did my presentation to the team and a PowerPoint and talking about what they did. And then they played at Madison Square Garden for the Jimmy V. So Chris and I had a chance to spend some time before practice. This is Chris Beard. There's another guy. So he gave each of his players different assignments to basically, one guy had to research Jimmy V. Another guy had to research what the V Foundation does. One guy had to research and present to the team something about 9/11. Someone else had to research the history of Madison Square Garden. Like his ability to teach and let those guys have a perspective and context of what they're doing, where they're doing it, when they're doing it, and how they're doing it is phenomenal to me. I mean, it absolutely is phenomenal, and he can coach. Now, I do worry about him a little bit in that the dude does not sleep. So, like, I'm there for 2 days watching practice and then watching film with him and you know, grabbing dinner. Well, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning the second day, and he's still going through practice. Now, he's had a kid that's basically did a poor job being alert defensively, probably in the first hour of the film we were watching, probably about 8 or 9 times. And, you know, he's marking each one and, you know, making sure that so that kid has a chance to see it the next day, which is great. But eventually I said to him, I said, Chris, there's about an hour left in the practice. I said, what are you looking for? He said, I want to make sure we get every single time that, you know, Morrow isn't alert off the ball. I said, you have 10 already. I said, like, you got that problem solved. Like, coaching is about fixing problems, yeah. Right? You got to go and present that to him. But he's so infatuated about every single detail. But he also has a tremendous joy of the game, his team, the moment. Like, I was in the locker room with him after they beat Louisville. I mean, the joy that he had in that moment through watching his team perform and play was just phenomenal. He's a unique, special guy who's got a gift to communicate and message and connect with people.
I think you're right. And he's got a joy for that community, and obviously they love him, as you might imagine. You know, Seth, one of the guys that way, way, way back in the day when you were, I mean, you probably were still at Long Beach, and one of the guys you used to talk to me about, you know, just kind of like on the side, you'd say, man, let me tell you about a guy, Tom Izzo. This guy, man, there is so much to like about what he does, now he goes about it. I'm curious right now, Michigan State had that big win over rival Michigan last week. So when you watch Michigan State and you watch Tom Izzo right now, what do you see?
I see him. I think the most important thing I see is there's joy back at Michigan State. You know, with everything that Cassius Winston went through this season, losing his brother, the way he lost his brother, Michigan State basketball is a real family. I mean, you can't coach your team the way Tom coaches his team without really connecting with your players, being there for your players, spending time with your players. I mean, Cassius Winston and Tom's relationship went from his freshman year to where he is now is incredible. But about 2.5 weeks ago, Tom is one of my dearest friends. I was talking about 2.5 weeks ago, and I just called to check in on him because, you know, you could see everything that was going on. And I go, you doing all right? He goes, I'm doing great. I said, well, that's good. I said, why? He said, well, Cassius came in today, and there was a smile on his face, but it was real. And that smile on his face permeated throughout the rest of our team because they said, you know what? We can see him with some joy. So now we can get back to having joy. Now Tom could go back to coaching his team because it was hard coaching his team after Cassius's brother passed because, I mean, it puts everything in perspective, obviously. I mean, you know, so right now in this moment in time, the joy is back at Michigan State. Tom has weathered the storm. He's got an incredible relationship with his guys. No team improves more probably than any team in the country as the season goes along. He's big on that time between finals at the end of the first semester and the start of the second semester. They always get better. He is he's hard, but he's like down deep, the dude's a marshmallow. Like down deep, he's the most genuine, warm, sensitive guy you'll ever meet. He just cares so much. He gets consumed by caring so much. They're in a very good place, and it's so good to see Cassius, who I got to know really well. Actually, the week before the tragedy, I went to Lansing and spent the full day with Cassius and did a piece on him, which we haven't run yet because of everything that went on. And he's an incredible kid. And that just, yeah, I got all emotional watching him in the Michigan game because you could see when he came off the out of the game and gave Tom a hug. Just that was the joy and the burden of everything was off his shoulders. So Tom Izzo is a special guy. There's no one more genuine than Tom Izzo in college coaching.
No, I get that, and I agree with that, Seth. I had him on the show for the first time in quite some time, and you could tell he was happy to be back. I was happy to have that conversation. Just like I had Hug on today, and Hug was giving it to me, too, about, like, you know, hey, Romy, we haven't done this in a long time. I don't really know why that is, Romy. And then when I mentioned Chris Beard, because they're playing them this weekend, and then I was down there, he's like, oh, so I'm curious, Romy, how did that go for you in Lubbock? How did they respond to you? Like Hug is the same way. It was so good to have him back. Like Seth, you and I could do this for hours with you because, I mean, you are the coach whisperer. As an example, all right, how about this? I spoke to Mark Few earlier this week. Now, way back in the day when he first got that gig and he was starting to get some attention, you said to me also about Mark Few. Go, let me tell you about this guy. People are trying to set him up as some of this laid-back, fly-fishing guy, and he is that. But you said to me, let me tell you about this guy. This dude is fierce. This guy is a fierce competitor, and he can coach now. Now, you called that way back then, but let me ask you this. I mean, I'm watching him now. If I had said to you 20 years ago when you and I had those initial conversations that he would build what he has built and still be there doing it at the highest level, would you have seen that coming? What would you have said back then?
Well, I would have said he would be there because one thing about Few is he's comfortable in his own skin. He knows he doesn't mess with happy. I mean, he belongs at Gonzaga. You know, you could say he belongs at Oregon as well. He's an Oregon grad, but he's found a happy place, I think, which is important. And he understands that, and he's not messing with happy. So I think that's important. Now, in terms of the success they had, I'm not sure anyone could predict what they've been able to build. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, they just got another recruit, a top five recruit. They beat everyone in the country. He's a great tactician. He doesn't get caught up in the minutiae. He recruits the guys that can play for him, which is the most important thing. Don't get seduced by talent, but get seduced also by character and fit. He's created this pipeline, obviously, with Lloyd to get these kids from overseas, which is incredible. But, like, the one thing that hasn't changed, and I said it to you, like, I remember you going, oh, he's a great guy. He is a great guy. But that dude will cut your jewels off. I mean, he is a fierce, fierce, fierce competitor. You know, he looks like the kid next door. He might be Eddie Haskell.
Essentially what you said back in the day. Hey, as long as I have your attention, let me talk to you for a minute about something we talk about all the time. And it's the one thing that health experts, dietitians, athletes, even top performers all seem to agree upon, but we can't figure out exactly what the answer is. The answer to the perfect diet. That's because it doesn't exist. Even with a balanced, healthy diet, it can be so hard to cover all your bases through food alone. This is why there is Athletic Greens. The Athletic Greens Ultimate Daily All-in-One Health Drink has got 75 proven vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, which make it easier for you to get the comprehensive nutrition without the need for a ton of pills, powders, and complex routines. In short, it is the most complete supplement for a better you, and it is different from everything else I've tried. It's different because it's delivered in powder form and it's mixed with water. Athletic Greens requires fewer capsules. It has superior absorption. It does not include any binders or fillers. In fact, one scoop of Athletic Greens provides a convenient, affordable, and delicious solution to fill the gaps in your diet. So if you're looking to boost energy, strengthen your immune system, or support gut health, this is the product for you. Athletic Greens takes the guesswork out of everyday good health. Try it. Jump on over to athleticgreens.com/Rome and claim my special offer right now, 20 free travel packs. They're valued at $79 with your first purchase. Go on over to athleticgreens.com/Rome, athleticgreens.com/Rome. I'm so fascinated, Seth, by like Tony Bennett, right? I'm looking at this guy. I understand that appearances can deceive. I'm not sure I've ever seen a big-time coach in any sport, on any level, look and act like that guy, especially in such a cutthroat business. I mean, what's the first thing that pops into your mind when you see Bennett?
The dude's amazing. I've never seen – poise is the first word.
Yep.
Now, he's fiercely competitive, and he's tough as could be. I mean, yeah, again, another guy that don't like that look – fool you. Forget about the no tie and how damn handsome he is and you know, how poised he is on the sideline. You know, he's got a little Tony Dungy in him, you know, in terms of the fire that's burning inside of him. He knows exactly who he is and how he wants to play. Now, he got away from that a little bit last year because they were more talented, but he's got a blueprint and a plan of how he wants to play. Another guy that's not going to take any shortcuts. But fiercely competitive, terrific teacher. I've spent a lot of time going down there and watching him practice since I've been out of coaching. And consistency, is a really big thing. You can't be a chameleon and connect with kids today. So, like, they've got to know who you are and who you're going to be every single day. Or they're not going to be able to respond to you. And, you know, I think one of his great quotes is, sometimes you have to learn to lose before you learn to win. And, like, the lessons you learn from losing obviously makes that journey to winning possible. So he's an amazing guy. You know, similar in a lot, you know, deeply spiritual. But you can be spiritual and be tough. You can be spiritual and be fiercely competitive. You can, you know, you don't have to drop 15 F-bombs to get your message across. His players know when he's disappointed in their effort, their attitude, their execution, and no means no. It's like parenting. He just does it in a different way. Some parents, when a kid disappoints them, they scream and yell. Other guys just say, you know what, every action has a consequence. Tony Bennett, if a player does not perform the way that they're expected to, there's a consequence, but he's not going to be too high, he's not going to be too low. The dude's amazing. Now, look, I think they are awful offensively this year. Like, I mean, just awful offensively. And, you know, they'll figure out a way because they'll be good enough defensively. This team's a lot like his Washington State teams that were so good.
Right, right. Let me ask you about one more guy, Seth. Remember when you were talking about how everybody here just wants you to have a good show, and whereas, you know, it used to be when you coach, you set the plan and you dictate things. Here the producers have a large say in things. You were part of a bold prediction segment recently, and your bold prediction was that Bill Self would leave Kansas for San Antonio in 2020. Listen, I know how this stuff works, right? I mean, you're going to say what you mean, and you'll mean what you say, but let's remember, it's, quote, the bold prediction segment, and the producers wanted a bold prediction. So when you said that, were you kind of playing along and giving them what they wanted, or could you see something like that really happening at some point?
You know, Bill, you know, took a little swing at me in his press conference, and that's fine. And it is a bold prediction. So, I mean, if you're going to take a bold prediction, so let me tell you, could it happen? I don't know. FBI is investigating Kansas's basketball program. All of a sudden, Kansas goes on 3 years probation. All right, Bill Self gets a show cause. You think Bill Self is, and he's no longer employed at Kansas. He's a heck of a coach. I mean, not a good coach. He's a great coach. He's creative. He connects with people. He's a great communicator. He's tough on his players, but he says it in a good way. He's a guy that could go from college to the NBA, I think, seamlessly. You know, Pop can't coach forever. Can't coach forever. That's just the way it is. They're going to have to find a replacement. Is there a natural replacement for Pop? No, there isn't. I don't think there's a natural replacement on his bench. Bill Self has a relationship with R.C. Buford. I mean, so if you put a bunch of things together, you say, could this happen? Will it happen? I don't know. But could it happen? Sure, it could happen. And Bill could deny it all he wants. And I understand that, and I respect that. And, you know, the only thing that ticked me off, he gave this line. He goes, well, you know, the media is just trying to, you know, create a firestorm. Bill, I coached for 36 years. You know, I'm a coach that works in the media. I'm not a media guy that's looking for another, you know, Twitter follower. Really, give me a break. So, you know, just relax. You're a heck of a coach, but the reality is this. You got a letter of inquiry from the NCAA. Your institution was in the FBI investigation. That's a fact. Or whether they're innocent or guilty, I don't know. I know only Bill knows and the investigators know. But that's a fact. So is Bill going to retire if something goes down and he's held accountable? No, he's going to continue to coach because the guy's a great coach. So why couldn't that happen? I also said that the Mavs would get to the finals of the Western Conference playoffs because I said 3 years ago that Luka Doncic was absolutely a killer. People didn't listen to me then. They listen to me now.
That's true. I don't think that's so far-fetched, what you said. I couldn't help but chuckle. Hey, Seth, you mean you don't say shit just to say shit to add three extra Twitter followers? That's not why you're in this?
You know, it's funny. A long time ago, about 2 years ago, someone came to me and said, you know, you want to buy some Twitter followers?
Mm.
I said, you really freaking think I give a damn who's following me and who's not following me? I said, I couldn't give a, you know, rat's rear end. I mean, my thing is I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to have an opinion. It's going to be based on, obviously, a little bit of insight. I've done this for a while. You know, it's like in Bill's situation. Bill, you know, I'm not. You can say what you want. I'm not a media member. I know how this stuff works. Right? I know how this, you know, what the real deal is. Now, look, I hope he's at Kansas the rest of his life if that's what he wants to be. But I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, I'm not going to say something to say something. I'm going to say something that, you know, if the producer asks me and he's trying to build a segment, I'll try to give him something that, you know, he thinks is worthwhile. So. You know, that's what it is. I also said that the Sixers would lose in the first round. And you know what? They might, because until I can see watch all the video I want of Ben Simmons making jumpers in the summer, until he makes one in a game, all right, he's not a jump shooter.
So
don't compare him to Magic, because Magic could pull up when people played soft and shoot that little push jumper, and he could make it. This dude won't even shoot it. He won't even shoot a 15-foot pull-up.
Seth, what do you think about that? The Sixers, and you pay close attention to the NBA game, obviously. So do you think they have that championship DNA, and do you think they can win a title with Ben Simmons?
You know, here's my thing with Romy. They had a great win against the Bucks. Terrific mm-hmm. win. You got to validate wins. So they had a great win against the Bucks, and then they dropped four in a row. Like in the playoffs, you got to win. You got to be able to be ready to play each and every night. And I know the playoffs are different, and I know it's an 82-game schedule, and I know that it's easier said than done, the burden on these guys' bodies and everything. But here's the deal. If you're the real deal, all right, then you know what? You're ready to play the next game. And, we did our podcast the other day with Jeff Van Gundy, and I asked him, I said, what's the difference between the good teams and the really good teams? He said, really good teams do it every night. So, you know, could they be a really good team? Yeah, they could be. I love the addition of Al Horford. I think Al Horford is a front court version of J.J. Redick for their team. A guy that brings consistency and toughness and is a pro. But until Ben Simmons shows, and look, he's a fantastic talent, but can you win in the playoffs with a guy that can't shoot? It's just like in the NCAA tournament. I'm seeing teams that are shooting 30% from the three-point line and 40% from the two that are in the top 10. Can you get to the Final Four shooting 30 and 40? I don't think so. I don't think he can win an NBA championship with a guy that's playing 35 minutes a game with the ball in his hand that much, that legitimately is reluctant to shoot a 15-foot pull-up.
Mm. Seth, speaking of the Sixers, and I'm picking my spots here. I really appreciate you and your time. Thinking of the Sixers, obviously your older brother, Brad, back in the day was the GM of the Sixers, and I don't know where the time goes, but he was the guy responsible for drafting AI, Allen Iverson, number one overall. How did he and AI do? What was that time like for him?
It was hard because AI was a load, but he loved AI in terms of his fierce competitive spirit. Like, you know, Allen was immature. He was didn't understand at that point how to be a pro except when the light went on. Like, when the light went on, that dude was – he would absolutely take your heart out. I mean, he was as competitive – like, he said he was the most competitive dude he's ever been around. He was probably fined more his rookie year than any player in the history of the NBA their rookie year because he didn't get it. He just didn't get it. It was all new to them. They didn't have a very strong locker room. They didn't have anyone coaching the locker room. They were a franchise in transition, and it was hard. But he, you know, it's funny. I saw Allen when Allen went into the Hall of Fame, and first thing Allen came up, I introduced myself. He goes, "I'm telling you, I love your brother."
Hmm.
So I appreciate that he felt that way because Brad was pretty tough on him, That was a short stay, you know, with the Sixers with Pat Croce. So that wasn't exactly the best. But Allen Iverson, man, that dude competed. Whew.
That must have been nice for you to hear, though, and for Brad to hear. You know, something you and
yeah,
I, Seth,
sure.
We have not talked a lot about is that you're a Fairleigh Dickinson alumnus. Now, one of my favorite guys in the game right now is Wildman Greg Herrenda, who's the coach there. What do you think of him as a personality and a character and the job that he's doing at your alma mater?
Hard on the Hackensack, man. Come on now.
Yep,
He's a character of all characters. Actually, I'm doing the Fairleigh Dickinson St. Francis Brooklyn game next week.
Awesome.
St. Francis Loretto game next week to help on ESPNU just as a favor and to do a little fundraiser for the university. He's a piece of work. I mean, it's what it is. I mean, he's a really good coach. But, I mean, like I joked, last time I did one of his games, he spent half of the time on the bench, a third of the time standing, and a third of the time talking to the people in the third row. I mean, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen.
Right.
But they're struggling right now. They lost some really good players, but he's a good coach, and he's a good fit. And, you know, his podcast is a classic. And, the greatest thing is he'll call me up for phone numbers. And then, all right, I'll get the guy to do his podcast. And then once he has the number, he suffocates those dudes. Like, finally, Jay Will said, hey, Seth, do me a favor. Tell the guy to lose my number.
Right. Get him off me.
But he's good people, and he's been really good for the school. And, you know, the school's still in transition. But he's done a great job. And he's a good people.
Seth, really quickly, one last quick stroll down memory lane. Now, you had some huge wins. You knocked off multiple number ones in your multiple stops. But I will never forget 1993 and seeing it scroll across ESPN when Long Beach State went into Allen Fieldhouse and took down number one Kansas. Absolutely shocked them. 64-49. That was a team coached by Roy Williams. It was his worst loss as a head coach at that time. Take me back. What was that night like? And what was it like walking off that court after that win from Long Beach State?
Well, Robert, you know the story on that. We played Pacific on a Thursday. Was supposed to take the red eye that night out to play VCU to play a Saturday afternoon game. And our flight was delayed. We get to VCU literally like at, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And we play the game, and we absolutely get beat by 100. Sonny Smith, actually, I was losing my mind. It was just awful. Sonny Smith walked down to my end of the bench and goes, and I was, they actually dunked the ball. Kendrick Warren dunked the ball, pulled himself on the rim, held onto the rim, no technical. There was about a minute left. I'm going crazy. We're losing by 100. And Sonny walks from his bench only down to my bench and goes, Seth, now you don't want to get thrown out. You're getting your butt whooped right now. Just let's get over this thing.
Wow.
All the Asadi could do. So we lose that game. We go to Lawrence on that Sunday. I practiced the crap out of our guys. I mean, I had Lucius Harris and Bron Russell and Chris Tower and Jeff Rod. We had a good team. And we came up with a plan of basically spreading them out, making them defend. We were very, very good defensively. And the great story of the thing is, We're up like 16 in the first half, and we come out making shots, defending. They can't score. So our trainer at the time was a guy named Dan Bailey, who was a great, legendary guy that has since passed. And second half begins, and at 16-minute mark, we're up about 14 or 16, and I come out of timeout. I lean over to Bales. He was kind of like my Yoda. I said, Bales, what do you think? He goes, we're in Foghorn Fieldhouse. It's a lot of time left. Thanks, Bales. Appreciate the confidence. Come out the next timeout, 12-minute timeout. We're up like 18 now. So, and I go, Bales, what do you think? He goes, you know, we better continue to get stops. You know, this place, they always make runs. I said, good, Bales. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll keep working.
Good looking out.
All right, 8-minute timeout, the same thing. We're up a pretty decent amount of number. He goes, we got to win the next 4 minutes. Like, you know, it's imperative, but we're not going to win this game. And I looked at him, like, Jesus, we're up like 16 points, Bales. So finally, last timeout, it's 4 minutes left. I don't even ask him. I said, screw Bales. I'm not even asking him. We're up like 15 points. I'm kneeling down in front of the team. He taps me on the shoulders. He goes, well, you relax. We have this thing in the bag.
Great.
And but it was funny because before the game, and if you've ever been to Foggy Allen Fieldhouse, it's an incredible scene. I'm in the hallway of the tunnel looking in, and they're doing through their all the gyrations they do before the game. It's like a theater show. It's unbelievable. And you're like, oh, I just hope we don't get our ass kicked. I mean, we had a good team. We had a good plan. I think our kids were competitive. We were ready to go, but that was before cell phones. So I mean, first of all, walking off the court, like it was just an incredible feeling. I still remember looking up after I did the radio show and looking up. There were like three or four Kansas people in like the bleachers with their hands in their head, like going, "Holy crap! How did this happen?" And I was thinking the same thing.
right.
But it was great. Went back to the hotel, the old Hollow Dome in Lawrence. And, you know, my phone started blowing up with, you know, different requests. And it was a great feeling. And, you know, again, you set the standard. You know, the standard is standard. That team ended up going to the NCAA tournament. That team it was really a good basketball team with incredible guys on that team. And it was a great feeling. And, fortunately, I was able to do that to Carolina and Duke and, for three other times. When you win a game like that, you go into someone's arena and win when no one expects you to win. That's what I was talking about, having a plan and seeing if you can execute that plan. There's nothing better than that feeling. The big thing is it's something no one can ever take away from you.
Lifelong. All right, so we started this, so let's end it like this. We started off by talking about that time you guys started that war at the Roach Motel by hitting one of our guys in the back of the head. It was such a great time, Seth. The Big West back then, the fact that we were part of Big Monday, the fact that Long Beach, UCSB, New Mexico State, even Utah State, Pacific. I mean, this was a pretty good conference that was always on the verge of sending multiple teams to the NCAA tournament. I talked about what it was like to go into your building, the Thunderdome, man. And when that place rocked, it was something else. What do you remember about bringing your squads into the Thunderdome at UCSB back in the day? What was that like?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was an absolute – that place would just rock. That thing was so loud. We were the Roach Motel. That was a tin box, let's face it. That's all that was. That was basically a warehouse that they put a court down in the middle of. Come on. But
it's true.
I mean, that place got so loud, and the one thing I always wish I did, after you guys would always score the first basket, they throw the tortillas out.
Right.
I always wanted to one day just pick up a tortilla and eat it.
Right. You should have.
It was a great rivalry. I mean, they had good players. We had good players. Both teams played really, really hard. Jerry and I got along great. I mean, But there were great rivalries in that league, and we had a great rivalry with New Mexico State. Obviously Vegas was the standard, but everyone else had a pretty level playing field. So the games were really, really competitive. And, playing at Santa Barbara was always – the games weren't games. They were events. And that's the sad thing about the Big West is that, we packed the Pyramid, Santa Barbara packed, the Thunderdome. There were New Mexico State had great crowds. Utah State, the Spectrum was rocking. And I'm not sure they have that anymore. And it's too bad because there's the potential to have good basketball in that league is really good.
And then finally, you talk about packing arenas. How about the Thomas and Mack? I mean, 18,000. Like, Seth, I'll never forget what it was like when UNLV was competing for and winning the national championship while repping that conference. I mean, it was insane. Like, Grandmama, Greg Anthony, Stacey Augmon, these guys would roll into the Thunderdome, and it was like the Lakers had come on campus. It was amazing. What was it like when they rolled into your little Roach Motel that you used to play in? What were those days like?
Well, I think that year that we had the fight, we also played them in the old Roach Motel. This was after Stacey Augmon, because we played them at the sports arena when that team was there. But when Rowley took over, we moved the games into the Gold Mine.
Yeah.
And I still remember J.R. Ryder, and we had Lucius Harris and Brian Russell. And it was a really big game. And sitting behind my bench was Jerry West and about 8,000 NBA executives all 700 people that were at the game. And we win the game. We hold J.R. Ryder to 4 points, his lowest out point as a college player. We doubled him on every catch. We denied him the ball. And we win the game. And the greatest story about that game is, so after the game, you're shaking hands and in the line. And I knew J.R. He was friends with some of the guys that we recruited. And he goes, "Coach, why'd you double me every time I caught the ball? The logo was sitting right behind your bench." All he cared about was that the logo was sitting behind his bench and he couldn't get a shot up.
Oh, that is awesome. That is so J.R. Ryder. Man, I miss that guy.
Oh, it was great. But the league was great. And Tark basically set the standard. That's what people understand. Tark basically said, if you want to compete, you've got to change the way you do business. And you've got to invest in your programs. And he helped all those programs in that moment in time raise their profile.
Seth Greenberg, Seth, you and I could do this for days and weeks, but I am so glad that we got caught up. And listen, I understand. I respect your time. I respect content. I respect the shows. I respect the podcasts. You've got a million things going on. So thank you so much for all of that time. Give my best to the queen. I'm not spending a lot of time in the Bombay Sapphire Club, but if I see Karen soon, I definitely will reconnect and re-enter the club. And man, you sound great, Seth. I'm really proud of you. And I appreciate your friendship.
Hey, you're the best. Anytime.
Clones. Now, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? I think I can answer that by telling you what we do not want.
We don't want bars or a sugary snack or another energy drink. No, this time, get beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your old man's jerky. Shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. It's not disgusting. And what makes it so good? I'm going to say it's the company behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest, which goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, be sure to ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? No joke. That was an absolute blast. That was so fun. And if you couldn't tell, that is a long-time friendship that I really do appreciate. So enormous thanks to my guy, Seth Greenberg, for coming by and chopping it up the way he did and throwing it back on the pod. And how great was that story about our very first encounter that he reset? See, this is what the pod is for storytelling. And I've got stories for days because I've got episodes for days. And there is no quit in the side hustle. So make sure you get subscribed, leave a review, tell a friend. That's the trifecta right there. And thank you in advance for doing so. Episode 112 is coming up next Wednesday. But until then, here are your voicemails.
First new message.
Hey, Romy, it's Robin, your favorite flight attendant. Hey, man, talking about the tour stop. Hell yeah, we want them to come in, especially all the lady clones out there. But, Rome, you're getting a little too upscale for all of us, right? We're scrappy as clones out here. So come to St. Pete. We'll show you scrappy in a first-class way. I'm out.
Message saved. Next message.
Hey, Rome, what's up? This is David from Buffalo. Tough way for the Bills to end the season, but I got to say this. I think Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are building a really good team. I think there's a lot of positives to take out of the 2019 season. I think Josh Allen grew a lot as a quarterback. Let's hope Brady leaves the Patriots, and I'm telling you one thing. The Bills are going to be the kings of the AFCs for years to come. I'm out.
Message saved. Next message.
Romy, Justin in Melbourne. Hey, Buffaloos, Bills Mafia, let me shoot you straight. That defense is great enough to win a Super Bowl, but that offense, that's not good enough to win a playoff game.
Message saved. Next message.
This is Ken in Milwaukee. I just want to thank the people in California for such a great time in California. I haven't been to that state since 1982, and the people were just fantastic. I just want to thank everybody from Long Beach to Pasadena to Los Angeles for all the great times. I hope you get the same hospitality when you come to Wisconsin. You're always welcome up to St. Germain and Vilas County if you ever get up that way, Jim. And I just want to ask one question. If you had any of those great brats they had at the Rose Bowl, they had brats with sauerkraut, not only with sauerkraut, with jalapenos in it. It was absolutely fantastic. Hope to see you sometime in Eagle River. Thank you much, Jim.
Message saved. You have no more messages.